The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton from the SDR Show. This week, legendary comedian Dana Gould comes on the show. And this is a unique thing. We started doing this last week, which only like the first half of the episode you're going to hear. And then if you want to hear the entire episode, you go to gasdigital.com, use the code SDR, and you will hear the entire rest of the episode commercial free. But right now, I told you last week we saw this. We were in the top 50 in comedy on iTunes, so I appreciate you guys sharing and telling everyone about the show. This is a great episode because I'm a big fan forever. It is Dana Gould. It is the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the host. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again. Back from his kitchen, it is James Madden. How are you, buddy?
How great is the kitchen? Is this the best I've ever done with my career?
Though, James, your guns are looking all right. That's pretty good.
I'm putting in effort, baby. There's no off season. I just got my blood work. I'm an impeccable machine.
I'm going to introduce our guest, and then I got to tell you both a quick little story. I just had a bizarre experience on my way here. Almost didn't make it. So let's give him the right intro. Okay, stand-up comic, actor, writer, voice guy as well, writer, producer. He was on The Simpsons, was on Seinfeld, was on Family Guy, voice of Gex from the video game series, new season of Dr. Z, newest episode is with Lorraine Newman. How he doesn't get sued with that, I have no fucking idea. We'll find out.
I can explain.
Yeah, I would want to hear. The Dana Gould Hour, which is once a month-ish at best, the podcast. One episode of Ted that he wrote, consulted, is in it as the priest, is celebrating Valentine's Day with an event that is a live reading of the cult classic Married to Mars from Outer Space with Bobcat Goldthwait, Lorraine Newman, Janet Varney, who's also on the TED show. Hold on a second. I'm going to cough again. I'm sorry. I'm back. And we'll just get to it right now. It is fucking Dana Gould. How are you, sir?
How are you?
So I will start with this, then we'll get into you. I just got to say the story. I have a fucked up shoulder, right? And yeah, I went for what's called PRP. And PRP, they take blood from you, they reduce it to like the platelets, and then they inject it into the shoulder. It hurts like fucking hell. But I did it 2 years ago. It worked for 2 years, and it started to come back. So I went to go do it today. I'm also getting over cold, if you haven't figured that out. But the phlebotomist comes in, puts the needle in my arm. No blood comes out. She starts wiggling the needle. And I'm feeling it like wiggle around under my skin because I don't know what's going on here. It's not working. Takes it out, tries again with a different spot on my arm. Same thing, wiggling around, gives up, tries my left arm, still doesn't work. And I said, look, I think three is my limit on being poked and no blood. And she goes, all right, let me just try and get someone else. She got another phlebotomist come in. Fourth time, they finally got it. But that whole process took about 40 minutes until I finally got the blood out, and then they did the procedure. I was supposed to be home an hour ago. I just walked in the door, so I apologize, but that's my story. It hurt like hell.
Well, you're back, baby, and that's good. And you're sneezing. You've got your seventh cold
in
5 weeks. I don't know what the hell's going on with you.
So let's start with that. How do you not get sued with Dr. Z?
Well, I have to. Can I backtrack just a moment?
Yeah.
What is the problem with your shoulder? Is it frozen shoulder? Is it a rotator cuff?
It's called a torn labrum, but it's right between the rotator cuff and the bicep. And okay, what's wild is you watch on screen as they put the needle in, and you could see the shit going into your arm. But now I could barely move my right arm,
so you're
and
trying
I'm not
to
allowed to take
painkillers.
Yes.
My wife had terrible shoulder problems, and Rolfing. She got Rolfed once, and it worked.
That's what I call when I have sex with the girl. I say, "You just got Rolfed."
But you don't want to get Rolfed. You don't want to get Rolfed because that will exacerbate what you're doing. Rolfing is like an extreme massage where they literally pull the muscle off the bone and kind of rework it.
That's crazy. And
these are things that when you get over 30, 40 years old, the conversations, a lot of the conversations switch from who are you banging to what are you taking for pain?
Yeah, from who are you banging to who are you seeing for your shoulder? It really sucks.
It's true.
Yeah, it's really awful. The who are you seeing now means a totally different thing. Yeah, it's really awful.
It's really easy. I'm still at the medical clinic.
It really sucks. It really does suck. I mean, I have finally made resolve in my brain that I am just way older than I think I am. Like, I am 54 and I still think I can be desirous of a 30-year-old or a 20-year-old and a 25-year-old, whatever. It's not the case. You know, I am fucking old. It sucks.
Desirous? Yeah. What'd you say? Desirous?
Desired. Desired by?
Well, I mean, you just pick up words sometimes and it's delightful, Ralph. Desirous. Yeah,
I realize that when I go hiking with my dog and you see women on the hike, that I'm just the invisible blur at the end of the leash.
All right. So let's start with that. Cause I'm very auditory. Jay, my other coach, Jay Oakerson, shits on me when I say that, but I recognize voices way more than I recognize faces. And I knew it was you right away. The first time I saw a clip of Dr. Z.
Oh, wow. Good on you.
The first question I've always had was, how the fuck are you not getting sued?
Luck is a big part of it. There's elements of parody law, and there's also the fact that right now we don't make money on it. I am, not by intention, but if you look at my career, I am a nonprofit and not by design. So basically right now it's like they look at it the way they would look at a Star Wars fan film. However, thanks to the great Seth MacFarlane, we do have permission from Disney. If we ever do the show, it would be with a Disney associated streamer.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
But it was interesting. I guess I can, you know, because they're still making Planet of the Apes movies, which is great, but they're not doing anything like the 1968 film, which is where Dr. Z comes from. So, they said when we approached them about it, they said, well, let us check with the feature department to see what their attitude is towards it is. Cause they're really the people that get to call it. Mm-hmm. Cause they're the ones making the movies, and the feature department was like, yes, please do it. We love it. And it makes us look cool. And it's not what we're doing. Go nuts. So, we were very, very happy about
that. You know, it's funny. I bet you there are people that are of a younger age that don't know about that era of Planet of the Apes. They only know the modern era and don't even make the connection.
And you don't need to know the connection. That's the thing about it. It's just because he looks like the character, but he's not anything like the character. He's basically Sammy Davis Jr. He's just like a showbiz guy. It's really fun. And for people who don't know what we're talking about, just watch Hanging with Dr. Z on YouTube and you'll get it pretty quickly. And I will say, it's the only thing that I've ever done, in my opinion, that is sort of greater than the sum of its parts. Like it all came together, but it's just funnier and better than I thought it would be. It kind of became this thing that I didn't really plan on. It just kind of took on a life of its own. And I really love doing it.
The idea was spawned during the pandemic. This guy, Rob Cohen, who you shared an office with back in the Ben Stiller days, you started the show together. And that's where it came from. It came from just out of boredom of the pandemic, I guess, right?
Yeah, I had done the character of Dr. Zaius as a funny showbiz character. I had done him. I first did it at Sketchfest with John Hodgman. It was Dr. Zaius is Mark Twain tonight. And it was Dr. Zaius in the white suit going, when I was a boy on the mighty Mississippi. And and then he kind of, then he, I ended up hosting benefits as him, and he just kind of became this character.
And didn't even do a, you did a live Dr. Z with Weird Al once too, right?
I did a live Dr. Z with Weird Al. I hosted Planet of the Apes with TCM when it was a Fathom event. I did all sorts of stuff with him. So it was, you know, during the pandemic and everybody was sitting around bored. And Rob Cohen, who I work with a lot, is a really good friend of mine, said, what can we do during, you know, just because we were both looking for something to do that, that would A, cost us a fortune, and B, put us at risk of being sued by a giant corporation. We came up with the idea of doing the talk show. And because it was the pandemic, we did it originally. We did it like Space Ghost, where the guest was on a TV screen and then was remote. But in this season, the guests, we have a mix. The guests are live and also some are by remote because we couldn't get them into town.
Kevin Pollak is in studio with one
Kevin Pollak is in studio. Lorraine Newman is in studio. Howie Mandel is in studio. And then we also have Jason Alexander by remote. Triumph the Insult Comic Dog is by remote. Oh, we have Sven Gulli is a guest. He's via remote. So, you know, and but the whole point of it is that, you know, when people ask me like for advice, like when, you know, people are starting out or whatever, I always, it's just like, just do what you think is funny. Don't try to give the audience what you think they want, because they don't know what they want until they get it sometimes.
And Steve Jobs is big on that too. Steve Jobs always said that they, people don't know what they want.
Yeah, just, I didn't know that, but
look at that. So I'm going to go back a little bit. You're born in the interesting name.
Boy, you really did go back.
Yeah. Hopedale, Massachusetts, right? Let's go back to the beginning, right?
Yeah, I was born in a small town in Massachusetts.
Four brothers and a sister, right? And you start stand-up in the tender age at 1982, right?
Yeah, 17 years old.
17 years old. And you felt you didn't get good until 1990, which, I mean, that's about right. It takes about 10 years, everyone says, 7 to 10 years before you feel comfortable on stage for most people. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and especially if you start as young as I did, because you don't know who you are as a human being at that point, you know. So, you know, what I did in those first, you know, 5-6 years was, I did creatively, it was a wash, but I developed my stagecraft a lot by working in a lot of different situations. And then so by the time I kind of figured out who I was and what I was doing, it gelled very quickly. Yeah, I think I got good around 1990, and then I really kind of
figured it out
in the early, by 94 it was kind of on.
And on, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's kind of a cool thing, because there's a bunch of you guys that were all coming up around the same time, and from what I understand, like, Bobcat Goldthwait moved to LA, then this guy Tom Kenny moved. And Tom Kenny moved because of Bobcat, and then you moved because Tom Kenny.
Like,
everybody just kind
of
said, let me go follow that guy, let me go follow that guy, right?
Yeah, that's very true. Bob, there was a bunch of us that lived on Glenville Avenue in Allston, Massachusetts, in Boston, Massachusetts, in his apartment, of Tom Kenny and our friend Dan Spencer and our friend Paul Kozlowski. And then Bobcat moved out, and then I kind of moved in. And then when Bob first came back to visit, I was like the second wife. I was like, who's this guy? And we got off on the wrong foot because of that weird dynamic of like, who's this person? This is my room. And we hated each other for a good 10 years.
That's nice. And also, did you know Mark Maron back then too?
I knew Mark.
That's pretty wild. It's funny that you, so many of you all ended up making it too, which is wild.
Yeah, it's funny it's funny too, because Mark and I were talking about that not too long ago, that just like, we're like the old timers now. It's like, we're like, we talk about like, remember this guy, like, you know. You know, people used to not have phones in their pockets. It was a weird time.
So I always
start your car. You had to stick a piece of metal into your car and then turn it. I'm not lying. This is what you had to do.
I always try to do a deep dive on people, right? So I went and found, I guess they're student films or early films, like shorts.
I'm that cringing.
You put out a long time ago. One was called Last Man on Earth, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, no, these were done for a TV show. These were done for a show on Fox called The Sunday Comics.
Okay, so is that after Ben Stiller or before Ben Stiller?
Yeah, just after.
Oh. Okay.
Like, or just before.
I want to
like
say
91. Right, I think it's before 91, 90, 91. Stiller was 92, or I think 92, 93. 92.
Stiller was 92. Yeah.
Sunday Comics, well, I was obsessed with, Dana.
Oh,
I would
really?
Watch that and Comic Strip Live. I couldn't get enough of it.
Oh, I was on those a lot. Oh, I was on those a lot.
The best. But,
all right, before we go any further, there's a miracle combination of words that if you're a fan of Kratom, you know. $60 kilos. $60 kilos can only be found at YoKratom.com. High-quality, curated Kratom sent directly to you from YoKratom.com. They've been a sponsor on the show for 4 years. The copy says three, but you know what? It's been four fucking years that YoKratom has been sponsoring the show. Shannon likes the train wreck. Why?
How dare you?
That's what it is. It's YoKratom.com, $60 kilos. Let's get back into it.
This is how I put the time for Stiller. We were shooting the pilot the day the riots broke out.
Oh, boy.
The Rodney King riots.
Wow.
And we were in Pasadena, and we all lived in Hollywood. And in between where we were and where we needed to go, there was just a lot of fire.
We're like,
how are we gonna get? And then the Reginald Denny beating that kind of triggered that was very close to where we were, so it was just like we might want to wrap.
Yeah, since it's not the greatest environment to film a comedy show, I would imagine.
I don't know. Funny, so, now we want to be running around in Eddie Munster wardrobe.
So last
that
Man
might
on
have
Earth,
stopped it. That might have just stopped everyone right there.
Yeah, we blew our chance.
They're beating shit at us, and they're all just so confused. Like, is that an Eddie Munster costume?
Wait, that's Eddie Munster.
Or Ben as Bruce, just walking around doing the alphabet as Bruce. Come on, so,
could have done it.
That brings peace to the world.
You described once Stand Against Evil as a guy that like is not supposed to be in the horror movie, like someone who just kind of is there but not supposed to. But in a way. And correct me if I'm wrong, Last Man on Earth is that also. Like,
yeah.
The cop is just there to get, like, he's not supposed to be there, kind of.
Yes.
Right?
That cop, played by the late, great Kevin Rooney, who really was my sort of, the word mentor is a little sweaty, but it applies. There are many ways to skin a cat, but, they're all horrible. But the way I like to do is you sort of build a drama and then you put people into it that don't realize they're in a drama. Right. And that's one way to do it. There are other ways to do it. But yeah, Stand Against Evil was a show that I did on IFC a couple of years ago that was a horror comedy. And, you know, I always used to say, like, here's how you do it. You take a horror movie and then you put people into the horror movie that don't know they're in a horror movie. So the monsters and the horror movie elements are straight as a heart attack. And then people just react normally, not in a stylized horror movie way. Mm-hmm. And that's enough. That's all you need. And that will make the show funny. And that is the algorithm that works in the film An American Werewolf in London, which is sort of what I used as a template.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very much on my high horse about that. And then What We Do in the Shadows came on, and I was like, oh, see, they break every rule I made, and they're a much bigger hit. So that's what you get for listening to me.
And aren't a lot of the euphemisms in Stand versus Evil like straight from Stand Against Evil, straight from your dad? Like
straight out of my, straight from my dad. Straight from my dad. Can I? I'm assuming I can swear on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to read this. I was visiting my dad last week, a couple days ago, and we're sitting there. He's 93 years old now, and we're sitting there, just him and me, just sitting in the house watching television. And out of the blue, not really talking to me, just kind of out of the blue, he just goes, I can't fucking believe how old I am. I'm fucking 93. What the fuck is the matter with me? Jesus Christ.
He's spectacular.
He's angry. He's angry. He's alive.
How I feel today, honestly, to be honest with you.
Sucks. But yeah, a lot of that stuff was right out of my my dad has a lot of euphemisms that we put right in there. About cool his about my favorite that, is a ahead, about as funny as a dead kid's toy box. That was my favorite.
That's a spectacular line. I might have to steal Dana.
Please. I'll make sure. These are all for the gifts to the world.
Like, where'd you come up with that? Oh, it's Dana Gould's 93-year-old dad who's fucking shocked he's alive.
Yeah.
And originally you were going to be the lead. You get a call that the show's being made, but guess what? You're not in it.
Yeah. When fate pats you on the back, it's usually just keeping you in place so it can punch you in the nuts. I had this idea for the show and I thought it would be great to play my dad in prosthetics. And then, IFC said yes and no. we want a star in the lead. And it was so funny because when they said that to me, I was an adult. I was a grown man with children, mortgage. And they said, we want to do the show. We love the show. We're picking up the show, but we want you to run it. We don't want you to star in it. We think that's going to be too much. And we actually think we need like a star to star in the show. And I could hear 25-year-old me going, sorry, it's a package deal. And then I heard adult me going, that's a smart idea. I agree. I can't believe how right you are.
I think it got canceled a couple years ago, like 2019, right? Before the
pandemic. We did three seasons and the numbers were great, but they just have this new, they have this new sort of algorithm where like three seasons and that's when that's enough to stream and that's when people tune out. Because the numbers were fine, but I will say like they were great. At the beginning of the third season, they said like, we're going to pick it up for a third season and that's going to be it. Like they kind of knew already. So it didn't really have anything
either.
To do with it. Yeah. No, it didn't. I mean, you always hold out hope, but I was very, very happy with it. And you know, then you get to move on and do other things. I don't get bored, but I like to do stuff. I like to work and I like to come up with stuff. I like to make stuff. And if I wasn't creatively ambitious, I would still be on The Simpsons and I would be so rich.
Is it fair to say that was your longest steady gig?
In a way that I'm not now. But I would be 400 pounds and miserable, you know.
But that was your longest steady gig, right? You were there for 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Good one.
And I was, you know, I could still be there, but I wanted to do other stuff. And if I hadn't have left the show, I wouldn't have restarted my stand-up career. I wouldn't have had Stand Against Evil. I wouldn't have had Ted. I wouldn't have the Hang with Dr. Z or the things that I am doing. The best stand-up, the best stand-up I've ever done came after I left the show, you know, so.
I wasn't going to get into it yet, but I do, you know, you did do a 7-year run on arguably the most important animated show of all time in this country, right? I mean, it's probably hard to argue that.
Learned how to write and things like that.
And that's where you learned the idea of a first act is a separate story. And then the second, taught you about that. And then.
Yeah. I learned how to write.
We learned how to write there. But what it's fascinating is that, as you said in many interviews, that which is not you're not breaking ground by saying that you write what you know. You know, that's a big advocate. You know, everybody says that. But I do think it's wild that your first episode on The Simpsons was, again, basically about your dad. It was about 100%. A bartender and a hunter, right?
Yeah, that's my father completely. Yeah.
So that one is such a famous episode when it became, and that I think you were inspired at the W Hotel in New York for the where instead of a W, you flipped it over and made it an M for Moe's.
It was a real story that I was in New York staying at the W Hotel. And I went into the men's room. But all that was in the men's room was four white walls and one of them was a waterfall. And I didn't know, and I thought, all right, I'm not in the men's room. but it says men's. And then as I'm figuring out what to do, another guy walks in and starts pissing in the waterfall. And then the wall opens up and a guy walks up fixing his belt and there's a toilet behind him. So the whole thing was an orgasm of form over function. And I wouldn't have had the mentality to just go, well, I'll just piss on this wall. And so I kind of took that and made that the story of what happens to Moe's Bar. And if you are a fan of The Walking Dead, you'll see at the beginning of every episode the name Greg Nicotero, who's one of the producers, and he frequently directs it. And he is one of my best friends, and he is the doorman of M. He is Cecil, the doorman at M. I put him onto The Simpsons.
That's great. That's
before
really awesome.
The Walking Dead. That was his. He was famous as a cartoon first, I like to think.
And you said this, which is that, I mean, of your 7 years, I'm sure there's tons of them, but your favorite episode is Goo Goo Guy Pan, because your daughter is in it, right?
Plays
the daughter, Lynn Bouvier, right? And what's fun, tell the story. I don't mean you can repeat it, but about trying to impress your daughter.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a great story. It.
It's just such a great story.
Yeah, it's a good story, too, because it shouldn't have gone on any other way. I again, you write what you know, and I wrote this. Yes.
Hello, doggy.
Yeah, I wrote. Hang on a minute. Before she's mad, the other dog's in her chair.
Oh, I saw you have two.
Yeah, that I can talk about that. There's a dog in that chair that's 17 years old who does nothing but cough and piss.
Me today. By the way, I have to ask you, hold make a second.
This dog is staying alive out of spite.
It's my kind of dog.
Dana, I have to ask you this one question that's been puzzling me this whole time.
Yes.
Over your right shoulder, from this angle,
hey,
it looks there. Like the painting looks like Hitler. No, it's not. Okay.
That's a sentence I don't hear too often there, Ralph. I mean,
I can see it.
This.
So that... It was
that's
cut
a painting
off
of my wife holding her cat.
A cat. Now, but when you put it back to the angle that
it looked
in,
like a sexy Hitler.
It looked like a Hitler's mustache on a face. That's pretty wild. Okay.
You know, it's so funny because a friend of mine gave me a painting and it was Don Knotts as Hitler.
Okay.
And it was Don Nazi.
Huh.
But it looked just like you have to know what you're looking at to know what it is. And I was I had it in my office, and then I took it down as my kids got older because I didn't want them to be in school learning about Hitler and have my daughter go, my dad has a painting of him in his office.
My dad's favorite painting.
Yeah. He loves that guy.
He always says he was so funny.
had so, a lot of good ideas.
So I wanted to ask you, is that a painting of Hitler over your shoulder? Is insane.
What's it to you?
So go. No. I'm sorry, we got sidetracked, but
that's I'll
your
go back
daughter
into the story.
As Ling on The Simpsons.
Okay, you're in. Okay, I'm just trying to settle her down so I can tell the story uninterrupted.
Dana, I feel like your dogs have cool names. With everything that you're into, which is things I feel like I'm into, I just feel like it's not Peach and Cobbler. I feel like they're dogs.
This is Bear, named by my daughter, and that's Alfie.
Okay.
And I mean, you're going to get murdered in about 2 minutes.
There was a very famous movie when I was a kid called Alfie. They remade it.
Yeah, the Michael Caine movie.
Right. And when I have a twin brother named Joey, and when I was a kid, there was a song on the radio called Joey. So my mother would sing that to my brother.
The Dylan song?
I forget who sang it originally, but there was no song called Ralphie. So she would sing the Alfie song and say it was Ralphie to me. I didn't find out until I was older that wasn't a song.
I think the Joey you're thinking of was sung by a woman, I believe.
Yes.
Concrete Blonde?
Yes. No, not Concrete Blonde. That's all.
But I know that song. I'm thinking of the Joey from the Desire album, which is a Dylan's peon to the great Joey Gallo.
Oh, you know, it's not that one.
Okay, so I'll go back into the story.
Now that we've covered Hitler and my childhood, let's tell the story.
Exactly.
And Concrete Blonde. I mean, this episode has everything.
Now that she's so
Look how cute.
Hi, sweetie.
And there's some other art. That's a production painting from the original Planet of the Apes.
It would be funny if I got it from Fox.
If he mistakenly thought there was Hitler and is like, no, that's a mistake. And then you show the rest and it's like, oh, but here's Mussolini and here's Idi Amin and here's Hirohito. But no Hitler. I got morals.
That's funny. Okay. So do what you said, you know, write what you know. And people say, what if I run out of ideas? Well, if you live your life, you won't run out of ideas. You want to be a writer? Go outside, do some stuff. So I had three daughters and they're all adopted from China. So I thought I'd write an episode where the Simpsons did that, but I couldn't just have them adopt a baby because then you change the fabric of the show. But they said we could have Selma, Marge's sister, do it. So wrote this story and used my daughter's photo as the basis for the design. And so years later, sitting in the house, and my daughter's now older and she's doing her homework and the Simpsons is just kind of on in the background, and it's an episode with Ling in it, and I point up to the TV and I go to my daughter, I go, hey, that's you. And she just goes, yeah. I'm like, no, honey, that's you. That's the character that I wrote in the episode. And now it's a regular on the show. And that's literally your baby picture I animated. And she just goes, yeah, I like Bob's Burgers. which is what you want. You don't want your kids thinking you're cool. But when the episode first aired, we were just about ready to go to China to adopt our third child.
Mm-hmm.
So when it first aired, it was written by Lawrence Talbot, because I didn't want them to think that I was, you know, writing nasty stories about Chinese adoption while I was in China finalizing a Chinese adoption. You know, they'll get it. Give me a lobster. Nope, that's it. That's her. And if you go to Hong Kong, that is the only episode of The Simpsons that you cannot access.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then after it aired, we changed it back. Lawrence Talbot, the world's most famous nom de plume. Do you know Lawrence Talbot's other name?
No.
The Wolfman.
The Wolfman, meaning that's his other...
That was who he was. Lawrence Talbot was the Wolfman.
Oh, he was. Oh, I didn't know. He actually played the Wolfman?
Lon Chaney Jr. played Lawrence Talbot, who was the Wolfman.
That's spectacular.
What's a famous alter ego?
That's right.
That's crazy. What was the catalyst after the 7 years? Because you started out as a once-a-week writer on Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Contract was up. They go to offer you every day. You're there for 7 years. Do you remember the day that you said, okay, yeah, I think I've done this enough, it's time to move on?
So, yeah, it was a common... It was two things. one was I just could not come up with an idea for an episode. Mm-hmm. I always had like three or four, and I just really couldn't come up with something that I felt was good. And my wife at the time had a very big job in the business,
mm-hmm.
That was very time consuming and involved a lot of travel, and we had little babies. And so I thought, well, even if I'm writing something, I should be home. Mm-hmm. I should be around, you know, we had a nanny and everything, but, I felt it was going to be around, and it just seemed like, a good idea, a good time to do it. And I'm glad I did it, because I did, I did do a lot of parenting, and you know, my career didn't falter financially.
Do you remember the last one you wrote?
Incredibly stupid.
All right, that is about 50% of the episode with Dana Gould. Go to gasdigital.com, use the code SDR. You're gonna get a 7-day free trial. So just go in, take a listen. And then you can cancel your membership right away. Cost you nothing. Or poke around, check out Shannon's show. The thing is, won't say it.
Ding.
Oh, there it goes. And, you know, any of the other shows on the network. There's about 15 shows and 5,000 hours. You get your money's worth, I'll tell you that. And a lot of the shows are doing exclusive content. Shannon gets shit-faced drunk once a month. That's what happens on her show.
With Luis J. Gomez this
month. With Luis J. Gomez this month. It's worth checking out. So just go right now to Gas Digital to check out the rest of the Dana Gould episode.